and that's what we want tonight. But again, Ian loves the Psalms, and I love the Psalms as well. I think it's my favourite book in all the Scripture. Psalm 103 of David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's lovely words. And it's lovely benefits that the Lord gives us. Now, for those of you who are, I think Abdi's turned around, that's good, because we're not working the books, we're just working the overhead, so I'll hate to turn around myself when we're singing. But I think we'll keep our seats when we're singing, and we'll sing King of Kings, Majesty to start with. Okay. I should say, since it's informal, don't worry if you've got to go to the toilet or if you're thirsty and you want to go through to the kitchen and get something else to drink or whatever it is, so it's fine. But let's pray together just now. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your ever-listening ear. We thank you that you're always here. You're always with us. And for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given us your life, you've given us your love, and you've given us everything in Jesus Christ. So we want to proclaim Jesus as King in our lives and in our hearts. And we thank you for the opportunity of gathering in Jesus' name this evening. Thank you for the tea that we've just had. We thank you for Ian Rose, who has been such a blessing to this church, and we pray your blessing upon him and Katie and his family, Lord. We pray your hand upon him this evening as he speaks a little bit about his testimony and as he sings and as we sing together the praises of Jesus. May we have a blessed time this evening hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Ian, there's an opportunity if you want. You can either sit there just now, or you can move to this seat, because you did say you've got a song to sing that is like unaccompanied. So, but you can, is that okay? Yes, so it's fine. And this microphone is working.
hear me? Can you hear me all right? Everybody okay with that? No, I get a hymn book, I think, with I came to Jesus. As I heard the voice of Jesus say, that's all I need, Norm. I'll maybe sing it when I feel like it, will I?
Now, just before Ian sings, because I ken how bad it is to sing a solo right after you've actually sung a hymn, because you kind of lose breath. And I ken about you, Ian, but I lose breath.
Is that okay? We'll give it a go.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, just a very brief intimation. I kind of got the newsletter in front of me, but thanks, Alma, for producing the newsletter. Of course, I never ever read a book page, unfortunately, so I always thanks, Ian. So the book page has got all my contact details, that's good. And a lovely scripture about Hebrews chapter 13, about the God of peace, that's lovely. Now, there is coffee in Mayas tomorrow, so there might be a few additional tables to put out at the end of the night, and that's lovely. It's tomato soup and Cullen skink tomorrow, I believe. I particularly asked on about that earlier on. And it's a children's meeting social tomorrow night, and do come along if you can, make it for 6:30. We're always grateful of Home Bakes as well. It's amazing how this session's come in. We usually do the children's meeting for clock change to clock change, which I presume means that the clock is changing next weekend, is that right? So it's spring forward next week, so we'll lose an hour. Oh dear me. Oh. Right, early to bed next week then. The midweek meeting next week is, or this week rather, this Wednesday, is Graham Young, Fen Verolchi. We had a good time with Graham a few weeks ago, so if you can come along to the midweek, it'll be lovely. The ladies' fellowship on Thursday at 7 p.m. The speaker is Mrs. Anne Marie Taylor. It's a BMS Bring and Boy sale. And the prayer meeting at 7 p.m. on Saturday night and 10:15 a.m. Next Sunday. And the speakers next Sunday is Andrew Young at 11 a.m. and Tim Borker at 6 p.m. Now it's the start of the school holidays next week, isn't it? So Andrew, you'll be happy, and Alma. But there's no Sunday school for the next three Sundays. Okay, Samuel, stop smiling. but it's lovely. Thanks very much for that. Now, Ian, would you like to sing this lovely hymn that you've chosen?
Surely. I won't be like Johnny Kelly, who's a sky man, and he went to sing at the National Mod, and he was going to sing the tune I'm going to be singing. So the accompanist on the piano said, Mr. Kelly, what key are you singing in? And of course, John had no music at all. So he said, ah, we'll sing in the key of Do, and not too high. You maybe give me the chord F if you would. Thank you.
I had... heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, lay down the weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give, the living water thirsty one, steep down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I look to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done.
Now, I've always wanted to be Michael Parkinson, Ian, and so you've fulfilled one of my dreams tonight by asking if I would ask you some questions. So I'm delighted about this, and I'm sure Michael did a lot of preparation for his questions and stuff, but I'm kind of just flying off the seat of my pants here. But and we'll brought this up. Michael used to have singing items, didn't he, in his show? He would hear singing items interspersed with the
dancers.
Dancers, right. Well, we've already heen a dancing because Jim's sister me when I come in. I almost skipped into the, I danced into the door tonight, didn't I, James? You were shocked. I was even shocked that you noticed, but Ian, we'll brought this up, so I mean, if you come to a natural conclusion in the answer to the question, and feel free to go and divert and all the rest of it.
I wouldn't do that, Norman, because I once gave my testimony in Fort Rose Free Church Manse, and Callum, the minister, asked me one question, and after the thing, Willie McIntosh, who works for Blythewood now, Willie came and said, Ian, as soon as Callum asked you that first question, you went on to autopilot. And that was it.
So, Ian, you're obviously a man of great experience. I say that diplomatically as somebody who's of the older generation myself.
Mature.
Aye, mature, that's good. But can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and your family?
Yeah. Well, I was born in number 39 Mitchell Crescent, Hillabeath, which is just 5 miles north of the Forth Bridge on the main A9 at that time, and a little village outside Cowdenbeath, and it was essentially a mining village. And as I grew up, I heard things that had happened to my family in the past. My grandfather, Ross, he was killed in a mining accident in the pit at our village when he was only 26 years old, and left my dad as the oldest at 10 years old, and then his two sisters, Maggie, who never married, she was a spinster all her life, and then Auntie Mary Ann, she was only 2 days old when he was killed. So it was a big tragedy for the family, that. But with the result of that, my father was brought up by a brother of his mother, because his mother had married again to Mr. Park. And so he was brought up, because the Ross family were all Roman Catholics. He was brought up by the Condes, who were Church of Scotland, I think. So my father never ever went to church, and when he met my mother, they met at the Pit Head, and my mother took the hutches that my father loaded onto the cage at the bottom of the shaft, and went up there. She took, and love notes passed between them on the hutches between Jimmy Ross and his wife-to-be Mary. And so when they married in about 1918, neither of them went to church. And they started in a house in Hallbeath, which is about 4 miles away, but eventually they got a miner's cottage in East Row. And initially it was number 7. And then it was eventually, when the family got bigger, it was number 24. So they had 4 girls, that's Jean, Nettie, May, and Margaret. 5 girls, sorry, and Annie. And then they had a little boy, and he was known as Robert. And Robert was only an infant, my mother told me, when he took rheumatic fever and meningitis at the same time. There was a thing going around the village with these childhood illnesses, and he caught both of them. And so the doctor came to see him, and they just shook his head and said, he won't last the night, so I'll come back in the morning. So he did come back in the morning, and he had the death certificate signed out. Robert Ross, age however many months, died of these diseases. But when he came in, he found a healthy, striking boy. And my mother said, what happened was, Tommy McMillan next door, he's a miner, he came to, he knew that my mother was having problems looking after the kids, and especially this recent one with the little boy. He came and invited himself to look after my brother all night, and he would stay with him all night, and he would pray for him if that was all right. And my mother said that was fine, and enabled her to get to bed. Whether she slept or not, I don't know, but anyway, Tommy McMillan, we don't know what vow he made, but my mother did say that he made a vow to the Lord. And he always said, in any time he spoke in the Brethren Church where he went to in Cowanbeath, he always said that if you want your prayer answered, make a vow to the Lord. So we don't know what the vow is that he made, but he prayed for my brother's health. And when he went off 5:30 for the day shift where he worked in Town Hill Pit, my mother was to find that Robert had no sign of the illnesses whatsoever. And that was brought up, as part of our family history. And then thereafter, my sister Bella was born, and they stayed. And then my brother George was born. Now, in the last few years, we've lost all of them except George and I. So George and I speak. He lives in Fife, in Dalgetty Bay, and we speak every Saturday night. But so the council said, there's another Ross coming. That was me. So we better give the Rosses a new house. So they moved up to Mitchell Crescent, and that's where I was born.
Thank you, Ian. Now, how would you say that your early years developed in terms of not just for the point of view of God and your relationship with God, but also whether you wanted to go into the mines or what you want, what your aspirations were?
Well, I went to Hillabeath Primary School, and there you got a hymn every morning, said the Lord's Prayer before work started in school. A pretty lively bunch, the Fifers. One thing about me, I was always big. I mean, I was 13 pounds and 12 ounces when I was born. And the only thing is, my sister Annie, she beat me. She was 14 pounds and 2 ounces. So she was a few ounces more than me, but I was a big boy. And I remember meeting a chap called George Bryce. We went to primary school together in the market in Kirkcaldy. One day I was browsing with my brother, and that was just a few years ago, and George looked at me, and my brother George said to George, you won't know who this is. No, he says, I haven't a clue. He says, this is my brother Ian. Oh, what happened to you, sir? Because he says, all the time I was at school, we always looked up to you. And that was because I was so tall and so hefty, and everybody was sort of smaller than me. I was like Saul, head and shoulders above the rest. So, and I went to school, primary school, with the legendary Jim Baxter, and we played football together when we were young, and he was something else. But So Jim and I came from the same village. With regard to God, my mother became a lovely Christian person, particularly through the McMillans. And because of what Mr. McMillan had done for Robert, she went to the church that he went to. And she loved all her life going there. You could call it a profession when I was young. And this is a difficulty, I think, maybe approaching the Lord too young, is that there's lots in your mind regarding spiritual things. There's a lot of stuff in your mind, but there's nothing in your heart. And that's what happened to me. There was, although I made a profession, there was nothing in here. I wasn't touched in here at all. And so I had good friends, and we had good friends also in the open meeting and the Baptist church, all in Cowdenbeath. And we had good fun nights and stuff like that. And then I did well in the hires. And I ought to have gone to university, but my brother Robert had just, he was in the finals of his exams when I should have been going. And I felt with aged parents, I mean, my father was 10 years older than my mother. My mother was 42 when I was born, so you could think when I was the age of 18 that my mother was quite old by then, and my father was even older and probably came to stop working, and they couldn't afford to put me to university. So I decided, the maths teacher thought I was a very capable mathematician, and he recommended me to a chartered accountancy firm in Dunfermline. And I went to see the man, and he was an old bowed fella, and he had his arms on the table like that on the desk, and I was sitting opposite him. He says, "Well, we're very kind to you guys nowadays," he said. "When you start your first year, we give you five bob a week, and then the second year we give you 10 bob a week, and then the third year it's 15 bob a week, and in the fourth year, would you believe it's a pound, and then we're even more generous when you do your final year because you get 30 bob there." And I said that was fine, and I told him I'd let him know through the maths teacher. But then an apprenticeship advert came up in the local Cowdenbeath News. This is people in Cowdenbeath, the West Fife area of the Coal Board, looking for mining surveyors. And the starting salary was £10.50 a week. So which would you have chosen? So Ian went down the pit. And it was a lovely experience because mining surveying is the most precise form of surveying that you can get. It's precise in every detail. And even when you go to measure substance on buildings and stuff, you've got to use special equipment for doing that. And so I had a good time in the pits, except for one day we went down and we were doing what's called the 5 foot seam in Glen Craig. And although it was called 5 foot, that was the general height of it, but where we were working it was 8 foot. It was about the size of a modern ceiling in a house, you know, between the sandstone floor and the sandstone roof, you had 8 feet. And it was all beautiful, good quality coal. And they were trying a new experiment they had never done before, because every time you develop a coal face, and it was just, if the seam was going that way, you had a road up the top, a road down here, you developed a coal face up here, and you put, this was the stuff where you put all the girders and the pit props and stuff, and this is where the coal came out in the bottom one. So they did a shaft, but instead of what they normally did was their little dry stone walls every 50 feet up behind, coming behind the coal being taken out, so that the roof had something to lean against. But the engineers decided this was to be a total collapse, and they were just going to let it fall when it fell. So they developed it out, and it must have been 150 feet before the roof decided to break. And here's the safety officer, and I'm down the pit with my chainman, and we're coming up the face, and we couldn't get past because the safety officer was on his hands and knees, and he had his eye down on the safety lamp, and he had a thing like a removable car aerial that went from the bottom of the lamp, and he drew air in, and if gas was on it, then it would form a peak over the normal amber colour of the flame. And but we never found out if there was any gas there, because what happened was just like a roll of thunder. And this place was massively protected by 12 by 12 timber greenheart, about that length, two that way, two the other way, two that way, two that way, all the way up, and then wedged in at the roof. And these were every, you could only get past, and that was when I was slim, you could only get past these chocks, as they called them, and this face, which should be about five yards wide. And so you had these chocks. And what happened when this roll of thunder came, that it was just bonk, like that. And what was previously like a huge ballroom, 150 feet long and 300 feet wide, was 2 feet deep. And so the whole roof had come down, and all you saw was a wee bit of the sandstone. But fortunately, the engineers had geared it properly so that we weren't all crushed there, because where you were able to stand quite comfortably, you had to go down on your hands and knees to get out of the place. And I decided there and then to leave the pits. I was going with the girl, would you believe, in Sun End. And there was this lovely advert came up in the paper saying a construction engineer, that somebody that was able to set out roads and buildings and stuff, wanted for the northeast of Scotland. I said, there's a job for you, and you'll get up beside Esther and Sandend. But when I got to the interview in Inverness, say, I'm sorry, it was a typo in the advert. It's the northwest, and the place is Skye. Now, I felt more fortunate than Jimmy Aiken, who worked with Taws as I did later on. Jimmy went for a job in Paris, but they told him it wasn't Paris, it was Harris. So so I felt more fortunate than he did. But anyway, I ended up in Skye. And my life went from bad to worse.
Okay, we'll pick up on that, as you've just said, in a minute, Ian, because that's interesting what you've just said. But let's sing the first, well, I'm kind of a first and last verse of this one. We sung it this morning, Isabel, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Is that okay? Let's sing this, and then we'll pick up where we left off.
I need to hurry up, I think, Norman.
Oh, no, plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we'll sing a first and a last as well. Yeah, thank you. So you were saying, Ian, that when you moved to Skye, things went from bad to worse. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, because it's a time of my life, I think, when my sins were greatest, it's better glossing over it, I think, and saying, when we reach glory, that the Lord will have mercy. Put it that way. But one day I was working for Briggs of Dundee, who had come to Skye, and because I had met my wife Katie and everything was fine there, my life was not good before God, and I think I was the first engineer on Skye to set men working on the Lord's Day. And of course, when I did that, the Free Church ministers were out in force. And Mr. Smith, who had sat on the pier at Kyleakin when they ran the first Sunday ferries, he was the first. And I got this long, long lecture from him. But then shortly after him came a nice old man. And I'd seen him about the village. And one thing you noticed about me, he wore one of these old Burberry coats, you remember, with the pockets inside. And it was always open, and it was always flapping. And he had these baggy breeks on, and the knees were always filthy. You know, there was always muck on his knees. And he came up to me and he said, "You seem a very nice man." He says, "Why are you working today?" I says, "Because we're kind of stifled with our schedule. We need to catch up in a day or two." Oh, he says, "That's a pity." He says, "You know, if you knew the Lord Jesus as I know him, you wouldn't be working today, and you wouldn't have the men working today." But he says, "You seem a very nice fellow." He says, "My name's Shawnee, that's John MacDonald, and I'm going away to pray for you," he said. "And I'll pray for you every day until I hear you've been converted." So I thanked him very much and worked the rest of the day, and that was it. Well, shortly after, I got invited to join a firm I'd been previously with down in Cumbernauld. So we moved down there via Oban, because there was a road job in Oban, and then I was put to an agent of a job in Ayrshire, and I I was Norway's youngest agent at 31 then. One Sunday, I was watching telly with the wife. And she's not here tonight, but she could vouch for everything I'm going to say. That I was very, very far from the Lord in heart and life. And this film for the family came on, BBC, 13th September 1970. And as soon as the music started, it was a tune I knew. It was a tune that my mother sang every day in life. Will there be any stars in my crown? That was the theme music of this film. And you know, it was all about a man who had minerals in his ground, and he was a freed slave, and he was in a property. And they all came to lynch him with a rope. And as soon as I saw that, the words of God came to me. And I could see that the words from the telly changed from what the people were speaking. It was the voice of God Almighty saying, when you reject my son, Ian Ross, you reject every sacrifice, the only sacrifice that has been made for sin. And that broke me to hear this song that my mother sang, and she was already dead. And I know she prayed for me every day in life. And she was already dead. And here's the Lord speaking to me. And I very, very seldom, when I'm speaking, talk about this, because until I heard a Free Church minister who was a barman I knew in Dorney near Skye, and God had him in his hand. But Kenny went to have a dram in another pub in Kyle of La Falch, and Kenny stated at a communion that God said to him, Kenny, what are you doing here? And it was like that with me. It was Almighty God speaking to me personally and saying what he said, that when you reject my son, you reject the only sacrifice for sin. There's no more sacrifice for sin when you reject Christ. And that touched me. And the next time I went to Skye, I was in the film station in Portree, and who came up but Shawnee MacDonald, who had prayed for me. And he looked at me, he said, you're Ian Ross, aren't you? I said, yes. He says, you're converted. He says, I can tell in your eyes that you're converted. I said, that's true. Come on, I'll show you something. Have you time to go up to Keystone, which is a village just up the road? So we went. And here's this old cottage, no roof, no doors, just holes in it. And he said, come in here. And I went inside, and there was just a path curving round to your left side. And in the middle was this big place where water grew on the mud. And that's why the man had dirty knees. It was because of the amount of praying he did. And it always grieved me that the day Shawnee Alec died and was buried was the same day as Jacques Cousteau, the great French underwater scientist, got buried. And Jacques Cousteau was there with all the pomp and ceremony that a member of state got in France, whereas poor Alec John, he didn't even get a mention in the Free Church Record, which is the monthly newsletter of the Free Church. He wasn't liked, and I think it was because of his evangelical outlook.
It's obviously lovely to hear you speak about people who have prayed for you. people who have been a big influence on you, and I think we can all kind of say that in our own experiences, how valuable and precious it's been for people who have prayed for us. What are some of the lessons that you've learned since you came to the Lord, and looking back over your Christian life, Ian, how we should conduct ourselves, or if you like, things that you'd wish you'd done differently in terms of Christian conduct, looking back on your life?
One day I took a terrible heart attack when I was working in Sky, and I tried to lift a roller out of a trench when I should have waited for the men finishing their piece and come and help. But I suffered this dreadful heart attack. And I went to Rigmore Hospital. They took 128 photographs of my heart, 64 of them when I was just been on the treadmill for a few minutes. They then pictured my heart. It was just still pictures, 148, 64 of them. And then I had to go away for 4 hours and drink a cup of tea and come back and do another 64 with my heart, not racing as it was before. So these were sent off to the Western General in Edinburgh. And so I got a letter to go down there, and it was for to get a bypass. It was a pre-op for a heart bypass. So the Friday before I was to go to due on the Sunday, I was in Sky working, and my friend was a good Christian guy that I'd met years earlier, and I had prayed for him when he was the local scrappy. He didn't have a wife, and he got married to a lovely Christian lady, and I worked with him, and he said, it was nothing you said to me, and he said, but it was because of the life you led in front of us all, I knew there was something that you had that I wanted to get. So he got converted, and he said to me, and he says, I know you're going, he said, I think you're quite apprehensive about this. And then I said, jokingly, of course, the Lord says, in nothing be anxious. So I'm not really apprehensive at all, but I really was. And he invited me up to the house. And when I was there, he read the passage that spoke about the centurion. And the centurion said to the Lord, you don't need to come to my house to heal my servant, Lord, just say the word, and my servant. He says, do you have faith like that? Yeah. I said, no. I said, I was brought up in the Brethren, and there we learned that the day of miracles is past. He says, do you mind if we pray for you? I said, no, not at all. So he sat me on a wee stool, and he was right in front of me, put his hand here, and he started to pray. His wife, Katrina, was there, and the daughter, Jackie, who is a friend of people in Fraserburgh, she was here. The daughter, Helen, was at my back, and the youngest one, she was here. And they all had their hands on me. And when Angus had finished praying, he said to his daughter, Helen, will you pray for Ian? And it was just a few words. He said, Lord, you know what's wrong with Ian's heart. Will you please come in and fix it for him? And with that, it was just as though the top of my head had been lifted off. And this beautiful, warm feeling came. I've never had it since, and I never had it before. But it was absolutely beautiful. And it stopped down here. It took maybe at least a minute and a half to get down here. And I said to Angus, what was that? He said, that was the Holy Spirit coming in to do his work. And I started crying. And so when I went to the the hospital, and like another 22 guys, I got the little camera up here into the heart and down, and they videoed the heart, and you could actually see what was going on as you looked at the thing, and it was all no anesthetic anything. And when I went to see the consultant, he was speechless. He said, I don't really know what to say, he says, because the heart we've looked at today isn't the heart that was photographed in Inverness a few weeks ago. He said, one of the arteries of the three that were blocked, one of them is open and has formed its own bypass right around your heart, and it's feeding all the others. He says, your heart's beating better than it ever did before. And I was absolutely amazed at that. And I didn't have the courage to tell the man, well, it was a miracle from Almighty God. And I think if I had the chance now, I would have told the man the very same thing. But I think the value is, Norman, that we don't know who's praying for us. I knew Alec John was praying for me because he said he was going to pray for me. I knew Alec Neil was going to pray for me because he and his family said they would pray for me. But what we don't know is who's praying for us. Who do you pray for every morning? Do you remember your family every morning? You say the Lord's Prayer every morning. You remember people who are your family, people who are going through a hard time. And so we just don't know who's doing the praying for us. And sometimes the less we know, perhaps the better, because it's all the more for God to reveal to us when we reach eternity with him, and pray that he will have mercy on us for the past. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Ian. That's lovely. I'm conscious that I'm doing all the asking here, and you might want to ask Ian questions, and I didn't want to put him on the spot here, but you might want to speak to Ian yourself, and anything that Ian has said. Is there anything else, Ian, that you want to add to what you've said?
Well, if anybody has a question, just please raise it, because it's in everybody's interest then if you have a question. I had an old, Katie had an old uncle, and he was a lovely Gaelic singer, and he presented hymns in Gaelic, you know, psalms in Gaelic, and when he went, he says, always remember that you never ever know who's praying for you. And nor will you ever find out until eternity. But he said this regarding the Christian life, that we must never ever deny God whatever we do, because of what the Lord said to his disciples, deny me and I'll deny you before my Father and his angels. But he said, I came to the Lord when I was 40 years old. He said, and I wished I'd done it when I was 19. And so that's the answer for us to be praying for young people who will get the message that God needs them here and now and needs them today. And it's good when you hear of certain churches being able to grow, but there aren't very many of them. And we pray for all the churches who need young people now and need them badly.
That is so true, Ian. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. And I think it's appropriate that we maybe sing, we'll keep our seats for this, the song that you sung, actually, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. I'm giving Isabel and Owen a chance to look up whatever tune, because there's a number of tunes you can sing to that. I don't think we'll be able to sing the Gaelic tune, because we're near as au fait as you.
If I know
not, Ian.
Music, Norman.
But that's a lovely hymn. And Ian, it would be lovely if you could close in prayer and pray for each of us here, that in the coming week the Lord would be with us wherever we are. Of course, we've all got different appointments to fulfill this week. We've got different places to be, and if we can be faithful representatives of the Lord, and also pray simply for whatever comes into our mind, including praying for Ian and his wife and family, we appreciate you coming, Ian.
Thank you.
We appreciate your ministry, and obviously there's a lot more you could have said, but we'll, God willing, we'll hear another time again that we could speak about other things. But
thank you for inviting me, Norman.
Thank you,
Andrew.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. You do a great work for the church, and thank you very much for all the times that you've invited me to share the gospel with you. And thanks to everybody for all your encouragement, all your help, and all your blessings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you. So let's sing this song. We'll keep our seats, and then Ian can close in prayer.
Thank you for the precious time that we have spent here tonight. We thank you for everyone who has been in attendance, and each of us who have experienced the new birth from yourself would surely say how wonderful an experience it was when we heard you speaking to us, the voice of Jesus calling us after him. And we thank you for that faith that you gave us in a great God, which enabled us to believe purely and entirely yourself and all the work that our Lord Jesus did for us when he was here on earth. And so we thank you for this day. We thank you for the diets of worship that we have attended. And we ask that your blessing will be upon this meeting tonight, that you will preach your word to our hearts as we go through this week. Bless everyone and everything that they do. Bless them in all the duties that they have to perform for you. And may they do it with gladness, with great joy in their hearts, because working for you is the greatest employment that anyone can ever have. or to be employed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we ask your blessing upon each family tonight. Bless us all. Keep us in your fear. Keep us in your favor. And we would recite together that lovely prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. And he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.